This morning, we will start a new series. It's called Life Goals Redefine Success. You must redefine success. All of us have goals, believe it or not. Before I give you a test, I want to ask one more time all the small group leaders to stand up, please. All small group leaders, stand up. Last Sunday, I told you we're going to launch this campaign, Life Goals. Your work is to inspire everybody in your group to get involved in Life Goals. Therefore, I'm going to ask now all of those who are part of a small group, stand up. You are part of a small group, stand up. All of you who are part of a small group, stand up, because this is what you will do. You will invite your friends, and the topic is such that you don't have to force them to come, because everybody wants true success. You ask them, do you want true success? They ask you, what do you mean? Finance, family, career, are you interested? People would like to find out what is true success. However, this campaign is not just for all of you who are standing. Now, those of you who are seated, will you please now stand up? Yan. Akala ninyo nakalusot kayo, ano? All of those who are seated, stand up. I want all of you to get involved in this campaign. It's called Plug and Play. It is idiot-proof. We have the video. All you need is to have a heart to love somebody, and you invite them to have lunch, coffee, and you show them. And then when you show them, you discuss with them. This material is very engaging. It will help your friend think. Even just one or two. Do you understand? Do you have one or two friends, at least, who are still alive? Yes or no? Okay. Now, why are we doing this? Very simple. We are doing this because our Lord Jesus Christ asked us to share his love with the world. Don't keep this to yourself. You need to share his love with others. And that's why I want all of us to be part of this campaign. If you don't know how, simple training. You attend. There are more trainings. You ask your D group leader. We will train you. So for the next 6, 7, 8 weeks, every Sunday, there will be a topic discussed, and then you discuss the topic during your small group. If you miss one Sunday, use the video, listen to it, and discuss this. Are we communicating? All right. I praise God. All of you who are standing, and you refuse to take part, please sit down. Are you telling me all of you are going to participate?
Yes.
Because I don't want to force you. I love you. Thank you. Please sit down. Thank you. Praise God. So what's our series? Life Goals. Redefine success. How many of you have 1-year goals, 2-year, 3-year, 5-year goals? Raise your hand. Some of you are not raising your hand. Are you telling me you don't have goals? All right, let's make sure we communicate with each other. Consciously or unconsciously, we all have goals. Agree or disagree? For example, after this service, some of you are now thinking, where will I have lunch? Now, the moment you think of that, you are setting up a goal. Your goal is, I'm going to have lunch in this particular restaurant after service. Some of you are thinking, what movie will I watch after service? That's a goal. In other words, a goal is something you have in your mind and then you set out to do. The only problem is this. Many times, we don't think of important goals. Because your goals and your understanding of true success will impact each other. For example, if you think success is money, what will be your goal? Be honest. Pursue money. If you think true success is becoming popular, what will you do? You will seek fame. That will be your goal. You will come up with your Facebook. You will come up with your YouTube. You want to be famous. That's your goal. If your goal is you want power, you may enter politics. In other words, your understanding of success is going to impact your goals. How in the world can you come up with good goals if you don't fully understand what is true success? Therefore, before I begin, I want to ask your neighbor and yourself, tell your neighbor, in your mind, how do you define success? Please. Do you have that definition already? In your mind, what is success? Whatever it is, today I'm going to teach you, in my understanding, what is true success. Many times, young people, especially millennials, they want to climb the ladder of success. You really want to be successful. Nothing wrong. It is God-given, that desire. But no matter what it is, at the end of the day, your definition of success will have to get involved with your understanding of happiness. Success without happiness is the worst kind of failure. And everybody, you long for happiness. Yes or no? As this famous French mathematician, Blaise Pascal, you know he said, all men seek happiness. All men. This is the motive of every action of every man. Even those who will hang themselves. Even those who commit suicide. Do you understand? We all seek happiness. The only problem is, how do you find happiness? People don't realize God wants us to be happy. That's in the Bible. God created happiness. He gave you a desire to be happy. But you cannot find happiness apart from Him. And how I wish you and I can share this with the whole world. Nothing wrong with wanting happiness. You know, many of you know that the USA is probably the number one when it comes to suicide rate. In 2014, 42,000 Americans, those in the States, committed suicide. Next is Japan, 24,000 people in 1 year. And then Korea, 14,000. Philippines, we are so blessed. How many committed suicide? 2,000 something, you know why? Some of them are not reported. But we are blessed. We don't have many people who want to kill themselves. Many of you know this fellow, Robin Williams. He's a comedian. But sad to say, he committed suicide. How many of you know this fellow, Mark Salling? Raise your hands. You know, the older people, you don't know this guy. But the young ones, you know. He committed suicide this year, 2018. He's a star of the musical series Glee. I mean, he's famous. But he committed suicide. What is success? Is it popularity? Is it money? What about this guy? Chester Bennington, lead singer. How many of you know this fellow? Raise your hands. Alam ko, yung mga maratanda, you don't raise your hands. You know why? Because it is beyond our generation. You don't know who is this fellow. But he's very famous. Now, he committed suicide by hanging. He was depressed. You better redefine success. In your mind, what is success? Because success without satisfaction is really the worst kind of failure. Our greatest fear should not be failure, but of succeeding at something that does not really matter. Let me repeat. Our greatest fear should not be failure. Because the truth is, you and I will fail. I tell young people, you try. Don't give up. It's okay to fail. But the danger is you succeed at something that really does not matter. The Bible tells us an example of success, but it's empty. Let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, begins with telling us the experience of the author. The author said, I've tried everything. I pursued pleasure. Have you heard of the term YOLO? You know, I learned that from my friend, okay? From Hayden, YOLO. You know what is YOLO? You only live once. So a lot of young people, that's their philosophy. So they want experience. A lot of people, that's what they live for. That's their life goal. I want to travel. I want to experience. My wife and I, we were talking to a lady in New Zealand. Very nice lady. And we asked her, how's your life? What's your goal? Then we discovered she was living in with a man. So we asked her, are you married? She says, no. They don't talk about marriage. They don't talk about planning to be together forever. It's that mindset, experience, pleasure. They are not thinking that someday in the long run, your life will become empty. But that's what most people are today. Pleasure after pleasure. Let's read this together. The experience of a wise man. I enlarged my works. I built houses. Notice the grammar, houses, not just one, plural, for myself. I planted vineyards. Notice the grammar, plural, for myself. I made gardens, plural, parks, plural, for myself. Notice, everything for myself. I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. If you talk about money, this guy has everything. He has lots of money. He can build lots of houses. I know some people, they have one house in South America, one house in North America, one house in Europe. They have so much money. Well, this guy has a lot of money. He not only plant gardens, he plant parks. Imagine Luneta Park. He has lots of parks like Luneta. Understand? I mean, this guy is super rich. And then he said, I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. My goodness, this guy has a lot of money. I provided for myself, notice, male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines. This guy is amazing. 1,000 women in his life. 700 what, wives, 300 concubines? My wife and I remember discussing this. How are you going to schedule this every night? I mean, you're going to have a problem, right? For most of us men, just one wife alone, we are already having a problem. But this guy, he tried everything. I mean, just put yourself in this guy's ability to enjoy life. Then, I considered all my activities, which my hands had done, and the labor which I had exerted. And behold, all was vanity and striving after the wind. There was no profit under the sun. He described it as vanity. The Chinese version is beautiful. Shi kong. It's empty. No meaning. Striving the wind. Look at the poetical way it was written. How do you catch the wind? Have you tried catching the wind? All right, ready, go, let's try. Can't. You know, I don't know, there was a movie made about this guy's life. Have you heard of J. Paul Getty? You know, J. Paul Getty was an amazing businessman. In 1957, the Fortune magazine described him as the richest living American. In 1966, he was described in the Guinness Book of Records as the richest private citizen in the world. I mean, this guy got it made. For him, money is everything. He retired at the age of 24. He got bored. So he went back to work at the age of 26. The shortest retirement. And he was amazing in his business acumen. He learned to speak the Arab language so that he would go to the Middle East to get the oil field and drill for oil. I mean, this guy, Paul Getty, is the founder of the Getty Oil Company, and he's world famous. His philosophy is money will bring happiness. So he was a miser. Would you believe it if you go to his house, at that time they had no cell phone. If you want to make a telephone call, he has a pay phone in his house. In other words, during my time, when you use a landline, you need to pay. You understand? But he was so kuriput, he was a miser, so stingy, he installed a pay phone. Imagine if you're his guest and you want to call somebody, you have to have coins. Start dropping. He was a miser. When his child got sick, he scolded his wife. Why did he spend so much money in treating this boy? See, the boy had tumor. It was affecting the eyes. He scolded the wife, and the boy became blind at the age of 12. And when the boy died, of course, his wife divorced him. He had five wives. The longest tenure, I mean, the average tenure is 2-3 years, changed wife. But you know the story of what happened to his son, his grandson, Paul Getty III. His grandson was kidnapped in Rome, and then they asked for $17 million ransom. Now, to show you how thrifty he was, he did not want to pay. The kidnapper sent him an envelope with the ear of his son cut off. In that envelope, the kidnapper said, "If you don't pay, we will begin sending different parts of his body to you. 10 days from now, you better pay." They reduced the amount from $17 million to $3.2 million. Now, this guy was such a miser, he negotiated some more. And he agreed to pay. So when he paid $3 million, they released the grandson. But he charged his grandson $800,000 for the difference between $3 million and $2.2 million. You will ask, what's the difference? Because under the law, you can deduct tax, maximum tax deductibility for is $2.2 million. So he said, "I pay $2.2 million, you owe me $800,000, payable 4% interest." Now, can you imagine a guy like this? No wonder when his grandson grew up, basket case, trauma, got into drugs, alcohol. The grandson eventually became messed up. My friend, this is what Paul Getty said. Wrong goal, wrong definition of success. His definition of success was one-dimensional. It's just money. He has forgotten success has to do with family. It has to do with relationship. And this is what he said. A lasting relationship with a woman is only possible if you are a business failure. Do you understand his philosophy? You cannot be a success in business and be successful at home. I don't know who taught him. At that time, CCF was not yet in existence. Understand? He does not know the Bible way of true success. And this is what he said. "I hate and regret the failure of my marriages." Notice. "I would gladly give all my millions for just one lasting marital success." So my friend, I hope you begin to redefine what is success. So let me ask you one more time. What is success to you? Because your understanding of success will determine your goals. You know, success without happiness is really the worst kind of failure, all right? God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from himself. Because it is not there, there is no such thing. You see, God designed us. And when he designed us, we were made for God. Just like a car. A gasoline car is made to consume gasoline to make the car run. A diesel car is made to consume diesel for the diesel car to run. You and I are made for God. Apart from God, you cannot find fulfillment and real happiness. No wonder the book of Ecclesiastes tells us what happened to this man. "I hated all the fruit of my labor, which I had labored under the sun. I must leave it to the man who will come after me." I mean, this man began to think, "What will I do with all my parks, with all my houses, with all my money? What will I do?" He realized, when I die, I have to leave it behind. How many of you think that you can bring your wealth with you when you die? How many of you sincerely believe that when you die, everything is going to be left behind? Raise your hand. you really believe, everything's going to be left behind. You know why? I have good news for you. One guy did not believe this. He did not believe everything's going to be left behind. He told his wife, when I die, you make sure you give me all my money. Put all my money. I want to bring it with me. So the guy died. So when he died, everybody read the will, you know. They knew the will. The will says, I want my wife to give me all my money. So after the funeral, they asked the wife, what did you do? My wife said, I obeyed his will. I wrote him a check. My friend. So this is the conclusion. Who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the fruit of my labor for which I have labored by acting wisely under the sun. This too is vanity. I'm going to speak now to all the parents, the fathers here. You all work hard. And when you die, you're going to leave those behind. My question, what are you leaving behind? For many families, it's material things. I submit to you. You think about true success. Perhaps what you should leave behind is more than just money. Maybe you should leave behind character. Don't spoil your children. Sometimes money will spoil them. What about leaving them eternal legacy? An understanding of who God is, what life is all about. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I don't think of the future, really. We have goals, but our goals are so shallow. Somebody once said, the reality about death has an amazing power of altering what a man desires, because death profoundly affects his outlook. That's why I make it a priority. Between a birthday party and a funeral visit, if there's a conflict, I will choose the funeral service. Why? In a party, everybody's having a good time. But in a funeral service, people begin to think of eternity. And if I have a chance, I share with people the reality of life and death. And that's why you need to think through. How do you define true success? Jesus gave us a version of the book of Ecclesiastes. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus described a very rich man who got everything. And all he thought of was about money, expansion, money, expansion. And then this is what Jesus said. He's giving a story, describing this rich man. This rich man is congratulating himself. And that's the goal of a lot of people. That's your, what? That's your goal. That's your definition of success. What is the definition of success of the world? I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry. That's their understanding of success. I will retire. Eat, drink, be merry. I will travel from one country to another. And then Jesus shook the audience. He said, God said to him, you fool. Please, let's read together. This very night, your soul is required of you. Who will now own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Your perspective about true success will change. Once your perspective about life is changed, as far as Jesus is concerned, Jesus said, you have a soul. And that soul is eternal. The soul does not die. It's inside your body. When your body pass, when you die, that soul migrates. You have a soul. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have a soul, if you don't have a spirit, eat, drink, be merry, it's okay. However, if you believe with all your heart that there is more to life than this physical flesh, I suggest you really think through about this message today. You have a soul, and that soul will continue. And God is saying, you are a fool, because you only think of the present, but you are not thinking of eternity. So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. People often ask me, why do we not pass offering tithes in CCF? Why do we not ask for people to give money? Very simple. We disciple people. We tell people, you don't own anything. Everything you own is given by God and entrusted to you. Part of my goal is to give. That's called tithing. Not just to the church, tithing, but I also give to other causes. But you need to think through. Don't be a fool by thinking all you have is this life. That is not true, and it, I praise God, is not true. Because in this world, there is no justice. I mean, I'm going to tell you, you will get so depressed if you don't understand eternity. Because in this world, many times you don't see justice. But God tells us, don't worry. Someday, everything is going to be made clear. So you need to think, what is true success? Now, this is a quotation that I don't know who said this. I do not fear that you fail, but I fear that you will succeed in the wrong thing. Now, it's another dimension of success. You succeed in the wrong thing. What is that wrong thing? Many of you have heard of this lady, Yasuko Namba. How many of you have heard of Yasuko Namba? Those of you who are mountain climbers, you will know Yasuko Namba. Because her goal in life was to climb the highest peak. It's called Mount Everest. She has climbed 7 summits already. But the highest is Mount Everest. What was her goal? To be the oldest woman in the world to reach Mount Everest. The first to climb all the summits. Well, she made it. Except there's a problem. When she made it to the top, she didn't make it back coming. Because her goal was wrong. Your goal must be to reach the top and come back alive. That should be the goal. Not just get to the top. She did not consider the amount of energy, etc., needed to come back. She was preoccupied with the wrong goal. Some of us today are preoccupied with the wrong goal because your understanding of true success is not right. I praise God for the Apostle Paul. He understood what is true success. For the Apostle Paul, this is his goal in life. Everybody, let's read this together. We make it our goal. Understand? That's in the Bible. Paul had an overarching goal. What is his overarching goal? To please him, whether we are at home, in the body, or away from it. So for the Apostle Paul, he knew the reality of death. Whether I'll die or I will not die, at home or not at home, my goal is to please the Lord. Why was that his goal? In everything, to please him. I tell my children, your goal in life should be to please the Lord. True success is living a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Yes or no? Why is that important? Let me tell you why it is important. What is the verse after verse 9? All right, verse 10. The reason why his goal is to please God is common sense. He said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is done to us, whether in the body, good or bad. Ladies and gentlemen, notice his perspective of truth. This is the truth. According to him, we must all. Notice the pronoun, all. No exception. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He's referring to Christians. Christians are not exempted you will give an account of your life. Many people think, I've come to know Jesus, and because I know Jesus, no more judgment. No, the Bible is very clear. When it comes to the penalty of hell, penalty of sin, that judgment is done. Jesus died on the cross and took the penalty of our sins. But how you and I live our lives, how you behave after knowing Christ is equally important, because we are now talking about accountability to Jesus. It has to do with rewards. It has to do with what's going to happen to you when you see him. Salvation is free. Don't be confused. Our sins are forgiven because of Jesus. There's nothing you can do to earn forgiveness. All my sins have been paid for. Amen? However, how I live my life, the Bible is very, very clear. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that, everybody please read, so that, everybody, each of us. You see, I cannot stand for my wife someday. My wife will be responsible for her life. I'll be responsible for my life. Each of us, my children, you, all of us, each of us, may receive what is due us. You see, there is compensation, there is reward. God is absolutely fair. He's saying salvation is free, but rewards are different. And then he tells us, whether done in the body, whether good or bad. So this is a certainty for the Apostle Paul. Therefore, his conclusion is, everybody, let's read one more time. What is his goal in life? We make it our goal. We make it our ultimate objective. So ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. When I serve the Lord, when I preach the Bible, it's not for people. I do it to please the Lord because I'm accountable to him. Can I give you a definition of success? Are you ready? Yes or no? All right, this is now the patented definition, which you all can copy. What is true success? Everybody, true success is becoming all that God wants you to be, and doing all that he wants you to do, and hearing him say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. Now let me expand. Becoming all that God wants you to be. This has to do with the principle of design. It is becoming all that God wants you to be. It has to do with your personal life. True success has to do with how you live your personal life. It is not just for show. It's personal accountability to God. Becoming all that God wants you to be. If you cannot handle your private life properly, do not think your public life will compensate for failure in your private life. This has to do with character. This has to do with Christ-likeness. Part of God's design is for us to be Christ-like. So what is true success? Private life first. Becoming all that God wants you to be. And it has to do with Christ-likeness, humility, character development. And because that is true success, I do my best to practice personal discipline. I have personal discipline that I do so that I will become all that God wants me to be. For example, reading the Bible. My wife and I, we read the Bible. We try to read the Bible every day. Why? I need God's word to transform my character. Do you have those goals? Have you read the entire Bible? You see, I try to read the entire Bible every year. Every year I finish the entire Bible on top of studying the other parts of the Bible. My wife and I develop a new habit. We kneel down together and pray every morning. That's called spiritual habit. You got to have those small goals to reach the overarching goal. What is the overarching goal? To please God. And how do you please God? Through success. Number one, everybody, becoming, say that with me, becoming all that God wants you to be. So that's personal development. Be all that God wants you to be. You have to practice self-discipline. I exercise. I watch my diet. So you need to understand, reaching your full potential, God designed you for that. Next, doing all that God wants you to do. Now, this is now something to do with significance, because God has a mission for you, doing all that He wants you to do. For example, in my case, what does God want me to do? Number one, God reminded me, I'm a husband, I'm a father. I need to take care of my family. So true success has to do with what God wants me to do. And part of that is be a good father, be a good husband. I cannot delegate my family. I tell our pastors, many times you can delegate speaking, you can delegate meetings, but I can never delegate being a father. I cannot delegate being a husband. So part of my goal, when my kids were small, were growing, I have goals. I want to spend time with them. I want to teach them the Bible. So you have small goals to accomplish the overarching goal, to please God in everything. So what does He want me to do? What about finance? I have goals for finance because God wants me to be good stewards. So in this series, you will learn about finance. One of my goals was to be out of debt, so I won't be pressured. And by the grace of God, at a young age, I was able to build my house. It was a 10-year loan, and I prepaid the loan. I borrowed to start a business. And in a few years' time, I was able to pay off the debt. In other words, you got to have financial goals. One of my financial goals is I don't have to keep asking people to give money to support my ministry. So I don't ask money for personal ministry. You know why? Because one of my goals, understand, is financially to set it up. Now, what about you? Let me ask you an honest question. How many of you have financial goal that you will be out of debt or that you will own a house? You have those goals. Raise your hand. You see, many people don't think of this. You need to think. The objective is, how can I serve God to the maximum? Once you have those goals, I will almost guarantee you, you will go less eating outside, because eating outside is very expensive. Those are what you call leaks, money leaks. You will go less to Starbucks. You know why? The coffee is so expensive. I think CCF coffee is a lot cheaper. In fact, the cheapest coffee is you just go home and make your own coffee. Understand? You got to have those goals. All that God wants me to be, steward, my work, our company, we have goals. For ministry, do you know the goal of CCF? By the year 2020, we want to have 20,000 small groups in the Philippines alone. 200,000 all over the world. See, we have goals, because that is God's direction for CCF. So that's part of my job, is to cast the vision to everybody. That's why I like you to be part of this amazing mission that God has given us. You see, our mission is never invented by us. Why do we make disciples? Why do we evangelize people? Why? Answer, our master. Jesus commanded us, go into all the world, make disciples. I'm only doing what He wants me to do. Many Christians like to do what they want to do. They want to serve God based on their terms, but it is not God's mission for you. So be careful. You better find out what God wants you to do. Calling is very clear. Are we communicating? So you go through this series and you need to spend time. Sit down. Write down those goals. And the problem is this. Your goal cannot just be for this life only. Because look at this definition of true success. And hearing Him say, everybody, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. This has to do with eternity. You have to be prepared. Because at the end of the day, my prayer, and you pray for me, that I will hear Jesus say, well done. Now the question is, how do we do all of this? How? What's the roadmap? You know, whether you like it or not, all of you have a roadmap. Consciously or unconsciously. I'm reminded of A certain fellow by the name of, he was a good man. His name is Lieutenant George DeLong. Lieutenant George DeLong wanted to claim the North Pole. He wanted to reach the North Pole for the USA. He wanted to stake the claim. He was given a map. In his map, it says something like this. It talks about the open polar sea, that somehow there is something there that you can navigate. That was his understanding. It's called the open polar sea, free of ice. My friend, this guy in 1879 relied on that map. In less than 1 year, he was trapped because that map was not correct. On top of the North Pole, you have ice. They were thinking you can break through the ice, and somehow when the ice is broken, there's going to be open sea. There was no open sea. It was rock solid ice all the way. 3 years later, he died of starvation. A group of men, they divided. Some went to Siberia, some went to another path. But the point is, he was relying on a wrong map. He was deceived by the map. All of you have a map. You are thinking on how to navigate your life to reach true success. My question to you is this. What kind of map are you using? What are your assumptions? You see, all of us have assumptions. You go through life, and you are thinking, this is how I'm going to live my life. My friend, I want to tell you something. It's one thing to fail, but it's another thing to fail because you have a wrong map. Your life will be messed up. Do we have a map? God tells us. Many people don't understand. God wants you to be successful. I made a study on the word success in the entire Bible. And I discovered the first occurrence of the word success and prosperity occur in Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, let's read this together, okay? For the first time, these two words are combined. Let's read this together. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. Notice, two different Hebrew words. Prosperous, salah. Success, sakal. Many times salah is translated as success and vice versa. And the first occurrence of the word success is found in Genesis chapter 24. It talks about the servant of Abraham. And the word is Salah. The servant said, he looked at the lady and he said, is this the lady that will become my master's wife? And then the word success. He said, by looking at her, will the Lord make me successful? In the Bible, success is always connected with God. Everybody say it with me. Success is always connected with God. Because God is the source of our success. God is your ultimate road map. So for Joshua, he was given a mission. The mission is to enter the promised land. Joshua, how will you accomplish? How will you become successful with your mission? This is how you will be successful. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. Ladies and gentlemen, don't just read the Bible. You meditate. The word meditate comes from the word like a cow. You chew the cud again. You chew what's in your stomach. You throw it out. You chew. you meditate, you think about it. Ladies and gentlemen, I only learn when I begin to meditate. Reading is one thing. After that, you meditate what you have read. So I have a simple journal. I try to type something that God has spoken to me. So whatever practice you do, but the roadmap, according to God, is His Word and Himself. Everybody, let's read. You shall meditate on it. Louder. Now, be honest with me now. Today is confession time. How many of you read the Bible daily? Raise your hands. Higher, higher. Higher, higher. You know, those of you who are not raising your hands, you don't make it a habit to read daily. I'm asking you, how do you expect to really be successful? How will you navigate life? You know, I care enough for you. I pray that you care enough for yourself, that you will not live a life of regret. You know, the saddest thing is this, a life of regret. And many people don't understand priority. You know, I'm surprised. For example, when people will choose golf over worship service on Sunday. But I praise God. I see many of them here right now. You know why? They stopped playing golf on Sunday morning because they understood what is more important. Worship of God, listening to the Word of God. So they changed their priority. Now, I do not know how you set your priorities, how you set your schedule. But for us, you need to prioritize your own relationship with God, and He will guide you. Notice the next phrase. Everybody read one more time. You shall meditate on it, louder, day and night. So that, everybody read that. So that. What's the purpose of Bible study? Our Bible study group, what's the purpose of Bible study? So that what? Everybody, those of you who are in small group, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. So the Bible is very simple. Whatever God says, your job is to do it. And that's how you have success. And then it tells us, for then, the byproduct, consequences of right action, the consequence will be, everybody read, you will make your way prosperous. How many of you want prosperity? Raise your hand. How many of you like to be poor forever? Prosperity is not always money. It's a vibrant, abundant life. And then you will have success. My friend, is the Bible clear? All right. What is the message today? You must redefine success. And what is success? Just remember, what is true success? Number one, becoming all that God wants you to be. Repeat. Becoming all that God wants you to be. That's your private life. Doing all that God wants me to do. That's your mission. That's your work, including your family, your business, so that you will hear Him say what? Well done, good and faithful servant. How is this word used in the Bible? Salah, sakal. How is this word used? Well, let me give you an example. An example of how God wants you to be successful. Do you believe God wants you to be successful? All right. The story of I love Joseph. The story of Joseph is an amazing story, but notice the emphasis of Joseph. Joseph, remember, he was sold as a slave. As a young man, he was sold when he was very young. And this is now what happened to him. After being sold as a slave, he was bought by somebody, Potiphar. Let's read this together now. The Lord was with Joseph, even though he is now a slave. So he became a successful man. Notice the sequence. The key to success, the Lord was with Joseph. The key to success is make sure intimacy with God. You have God's hand in your life. And God's presence in your life will not be there if you don't obey Him. God was with Joseph. The Bible says then he became a successful man. Notice the sequence. God was with Joseph, and then what happened? He became. How can you be successful as a slave? It is doing what God wants you to do, wherever you are. And the Bible tells us, notice another verse, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper. Notice the emphasis again. The master saw that the Lord was with him. Let me ask you a question. In your office, at work, will your boss, will your office mates see God in your life? Have you ever wondered, how in the world did the boss see God in his life? The Bible says his master saw that the Lord was with him. How can you see God in the life of somebody at work? Answer? He's different. He worked hard. He was faithful. May I suggest for all of those people who work for somebody, try to be there earlier and go home later. That's how you make an impression of faithfulness. And then when you're asked to do something, be resourceful. Think, how can I better serve? Don't always think of doing the minimum. Think of doing the maximum, over and above. A story was told when Russia was under, well, maybe right now still under communist rule, but the Communist Party issued an order for the factory worker who are Christians to be fired. Now, this guy was a supervisor. He was a manager. He was told, you fired that fellow. He's a Christian. The manager, who was a communist, refused to fire. You know why he refused to fire that person? He said, sir, if I fire this man, there will be a problem in the factory. He's our most precious employee. I cannot afford to fire this Christian. You know what entered my mind? If all CCFers, if all Christians will behave in such a way that your boss will say, you know what? I cannot afford to let this guy go. My friend, that is what we need to do. That's why true success has to do with becoming all that God wants you to be, doing what he wants you to do. Today, Christianity has a bad reputation. I'm sorry to tell you, my heart is saddened. When I go all over the world and I meet different pastors, in fact, in America today, Christianity is a bad word. You know what they think of when they think of Christians? Judgmental, critical, unloving, always fighting. We don't show Christ-likeness. But you know what? Something is happening. There are many pastors now all over the world. When we meet together, we want to go back to basic. We want to go back to discipleship. We want you, all of us, to live Christ-like. Can you turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, become Christ-like? So that people will see Christ in us. And not this. And the Lord caused all that he did to prosper. Notice, the boss knew. God was in this guy's life, and God is the one making him prosper. You bring glory to God, not to yourself. You know, the truth is this. True success comes from God. Amen. Tell your neighbor, true success comes from God. Now, it came about from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Bible tells us, the Lord blessed Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus, the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned. In other words, they knew God was the one causing him to prosper. Look at me, everybody. True success is not selfish. True success will bless other people. Joseph was successful. He blessed others. How can you live a significant life if you just live for yourself? You see, becoming all that God wants you to be is to be a blessing to others. That's true success. You live a dent in the lives of others. You influence people positively. And that, my friend, is true success. Like Joseph, becoming all that God wants you to be, doing all that he wants you to do, you are going to impact others. But you know, the Bible is an amazing book. The Bible inserted a sentence. Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. You know why it was placed there? Let me tell you why. Because you have a woman, liberated woman, Her name is Mrs. Potiphar. She, his master's wife, looked with desire at Joseph. So he must be handsome. Remember, handsome, nice appearance, you know. He's like Mr. Philippines, okay? And the Bible tells us, lie with me. He refused. You know, I want you to think. The Bible tells us Mrs. Potiphar seduced him every day. Non-stop. Every day. I know, some of you said patay. You know why patay? If you were Joseph, I know what you would say. Lord, submit to authority. So, Joseph refused. Because Joseph knew the road map. The road map is to follow God, to be pleasing to Him. You live day by day, moment by moment. You follow the road map. The road map to me is very simple. I walk with Jesus. When I don't know what to do, I ask Jesus, Lord, what shall we do? When I have problems, I stop. Lord, what shall we do? That's my road map. You see, God does not tell me 5 years from now where I will be. All I know is this. God wants me here this morning. And because I'm here this morning, I will do what He wants me to do this morning. Walk day by day. That's the roadmap to success. Just do what God wants you to do day by day. And the Bible tells us, Joseph was a man of God. You know how he told his wife in Tagalog? Mrs., pambihira ka naman. I don't know if Mrs. Potiphar is ugly or beautiful, okay? I cannot tell you. But one thing I know, he told his wife, your master, my master gave me everything. I'm in charge of this house. He gave me everything. I'm the boss. But he withheld one thing from me, you. I cannot do that. You see, this guy understood integrity. But you know what's amazing? This is what he said. He said, how could I do this great evil and sin against God? You see, I tell the wives here, you cannot control your husband. You cannot guard your husband. Let your husband be accountable to God. Many of you are so frustrated because you want to play the Holy Spirit, you want to play God. I tell women, I tell the men, relax. Do your part. What is within your control, you do it. What is outside your control, you have a husband who is philandering. By the way, we have lots of them here. I want you to know God knows what you are doing. God loves you. Ladies, don't sweat. They're outside your control. What do? You walk with God. Let God take care of them. Joseph was such a man. How could I do this evil and sin against who? God. And that, my friend, is the roadmap to success. You walk with God. And the Bible tells us the Lord was with Joseph. He was sent to the jail. He was put in jail. Can you imagine? By being holy, I was falsely accused. Is that fair? Tell me, is it fair? Sometimes you will not experience fairness. I know some of you are having a problem today. You feel it's not fair. My friend, God is allowing these problems to happen in your life. Because part of true success is becoming all that God wants you to be. And sometimes in character transformation, He allows disappointments. He allows betrayal. In the case of Joseph, he was doubly betrayed by his family members. Now by his boss, he's now in jail. That is painful. But you know what the Bible tells us? Joseph walked with God, even in jail. And the Bible tells us what happened to him day by day. He became after many, many years, we don't know how long, but after many years, at the age of 30, he became the prime minister of Egypt. Is that amazing? Slave, in jail, at the right time, he became the prime minister. The Bible tells us, this is amazing. What is true success, everybody? Becoming all that God wants you to be. Doing all that He wants you to do. And hearing Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Notice, faithful. Some of you may not be able to do super great things, but I want you to be faithful. Let me tell you the story of what I heard in my last trip to Dubai. I was in Dubai last week. The pastor of Fiji He's one of the most successful pastors. You know why? 12% of the population goes to his church. It's just, you know, Fiji is a small country, but 12% of the population goes to his church. So this guy was faithful. He told us the story of what used to be Fiji. Fiji is an island where the people are cannibals. They eat people. And there was a group of missionaries who decided to go to this tribal area, the Kuyo people. But they were warned, don't go there, because no missionaries have ever come back. They eat you. But what does it mean to be faithful? To be doing all that God wants us to do. They were faithful. They fasted and prayed. So they went to the island, and they began to talk about Jesus. And then they heard that the chief was sick. So they asked if they can pray for the sick. But to go see the chief, you need to talk to other smaller chief, the four smaller chief. The four smaller chief finally agreed, okay, you can pray for the chief. When they went to the big chief, the chief said, you know, my God does not hear my prayer. I'm ready to pray to your God. You pray for me. So they prayed for the big chief. After praying, the chief died. My friend, if you're the missionaries, what will you be thinking? Lord, we will be barbecued. So they prayed. You know what happened? The big chief came back to life. When the big chief came back to life, he said, I fell asleep, and two angels came to pick me up. And the two angels brought me first to a place beautiful. He's describing heaven. And he said, in that place, I met the prophet. I met Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He never read the Bible, understand? But he gave the names. I met Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He named the prophets. And then the angel brought me to another place. It's an awful place. I saw a lot of young people. It's a bad place. Pain, suffering. And then the angel brought me out. The angel said, now you choose. What place do you want to be? If you are the chief, what will you say? I want that place. So the angel said, listen to the missionary. So when he woke up, he called all the leaders. After telling them the story, from this day onward, the God of this place is the God of the missionary. Is God amazing? And that is how, when you go to Fiji today, you will see lots and lots of churches. All because a few men willing to risk their lives by being faithful to the call of Jesus. My friend, true success is to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's my prayer. Shall we pray this kind of prayer, everybody? His master said to him, everybody read, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter in the joy of your master. The Bible tells us, true success involves eternity. Be faithful now. You must think of the big picture. As C.S. Lewis once said, all their life in this world and all their adventures had only been the cover and the title page. Now, at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story which no one on earth has read. Remember the book, The Lion, the King, and the Wardrobe? He is saying, our life on earth, all your adventures, is but the introduction, the cover. Friends, you have no idea what God has in store for his people. Life on earth is only the first page. The book about your life is going to be written the day when you see Jesus. And that day, For all of us, it's a different day. But I'm reminded that God has an amazing plan for your life. I want us to close with a one-minute video of Billy Graham, because Billy Graham understood what is true success. Let's listen to his testimony.
Finally tonight here, Diane Sawyer with Reverend Billy Graham, asking about something many of us have thought about too.
He was known as America's pastor, his personal connection with so many who never even met him. His worries, often the same as ours, even when it came to death.
How often do you think about it?
I couldn't answer how often. I suppose I think about it quite a bit, like everybody else. I think we're all conscious that this life is very temporary and it's very short. The older you get, the shorter it seems. It seems just yesterday that I was milking cows for my father on the farm. We're all facing death, and we all better get worried about it and be sure we're right with God so we're ready for that day of judgment that's going to come.
And Diane asked him what he hoped people would say about him after he was gone.
What do you hope they'll say?
I don't want them to say big things about me, because I don't deserve them. I want to hear one person say something nice about me, and that's the Lord. When I face him, I want him to say to me, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." But I'm not sure I'm going to hear it, but that's what I would like to hear.
That's my prayer. My prayer, you pray for me. Let's bow our heads. I don't know how many of you are really ready to see Jesus. I want to pray for you. If you want me to pray for you so that you'll be ready, why don't you stand up? Right, yes, stand up. You want me to pray for you? You want to be ready? Wherever you are, you tell Jesus that you want to make the right goals. And the truth is, we need help. I need Jesus to help me finish well and strong. Anybody else? I'm going to pray for you. Before I pray for you, I want you to pray this prayer first. Between you and the Lord, life is short, my friend. Eternity is long. Think about it. What will Jesus say? Some of you are not even sure you will see Jesus. For those who know you will see Jesus, you may not even hear him say, "Well done," because you are living a double life. I want you to humble yourself today. And if God is speaking to you, stand up. You know, standing up is an act of humility, because you are saying, "Lord, I need you." Praise God. Many of you. Between you and Jesus. First, you pray this prayer. You pray something like this. It's a prayer of humility, saying, first is this: "Lord, I'm not even sure that I'm going to meet you. With the way I'm living my life, I'm not sure. But Lord, I want to be sure. I come before you today as a sinner. I ask you, Jesus, to save me from my sin. Thank you for dying on the cross and for paying my sin." To those of you who know you will see Jesus, but you are not yet sure, you pray this, you are not yet sure that you will hear him say, "Well done." You pray this prayer: "Lord, today I will adjust my life. I will readjust my goals. Because, Lord, in changing times, goals do change, but you don't change. Therefore, Lord, my goal today, my overarching goal, is to live a life that pleases you. I want to experience true success. Lord, help me to become all that you want me to be. Help me to do all that you want me to do. And Lord, I pray that I will hear you say, 'Well done, good and faithful slave.'" As you pray that prayer privately, right now, ask God, what are the new goals He wants you to have right now, even just for 1 minute, quietly wherever you are. Listen to the Lord. Father God in heaven, I pray for myself as I pray for our friends who have stood up. Our desire, my desire, just like Billy Graham, it's our hope that we will hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Thank you. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Connect with CCF through the following websites. Jumpstart your spiritual journey by joining a small group. We are so blessed you were able to join us today. God bless and see you next time.